History through the eyes of those who lived it. This is Hometown Heroes, presented on the air and online by Provident Payments, proudly honoring the men and women whose service and sacrifice have secured our freedom. Now, the host of Hometown Heroes, Paul Leffler.
Welcome to another edition of Hometown Heroes, the program that reminds you no matter where you live in this great country of ours, no matter how big or how small your hometown might be, there are stories there that should not go untold. And what we've figured out is really they don't have to go untold, as long as we're willing to ask a few questions and then invest a little time and patiently listen to what unfolds from there. We want to honor our veterans for their service and their sacrifice. We want to preserve their stories so we never forget the price that's been paid for our freedom. And in the process, not only are we educated, not only are we entertained, but so often we end up inspired by these stories from our men and women in uniform. In addition to all the veterans we've met on Hometown Heroes over the years, we've also introduced you at times to people who are actively attempting to showcase the stories of veterans. And in some cases, those people are veterans themselves. We're going to meet someone just like that today, and he would love to have you meet him and other veterans in person on February 25th for the 5th annual Unsung Heroes Black History Month Luncheon in Fresno, California. Ron Vance served in the Navy during the Vietnam War and in the Army 30 years later in Iraq. And in the last decade, he's gotten involved with something I hope you're going to take some time to explore at hometownheroesradio.com. It's called the Unsung Heroes Living History Project.
The Unsung Heroes Living History Project is a baby of Lisa Daniels. She interviewed me at the Boys and Girls Club in West Fresno in September of 2014. She asked me if she could interview me, and I said, I have nothing to say. She said, but you're wearing a Vietnam veteran cap. And then I hear laughter. And I go, what are you laughing at? 20 minutes had went by, and I was still talking about my adventures of being away from West Fresno as a 19-year-old kid. And here we are at 2023. I have established at the Maxey Park Center here in West Fresno over 120 photographs of veterans who came out of my neighborhood, out of West Fresno, who do not get recognized, okay? You always see superheroes and people, you know, that's off the scale of doing stuff in the military, but you never hear about the people who come out of my neighborhood, West Fresno. This is what my Unsung Heroes program is about. It's recognizing the veterans who don't have someone to see who they are or what they've been doing in the military.
And for people who aren't from this area, West Fresno, historically, and there are some developments we can go back through to explain why it was this way, but West Fresno, historically, has been an African-American neighborhood. So for Black History Month, it's an opportunity to draw more attention to this. And what you're saying is there are some stories out there that haven't been told, and you're trying to tell them. Is that what I'm getting?
Exactly. There's a Tuskegee Airman, one of the first Tuskegee Airmen, grew up right in Fowler, right down 7 miles down the road, okay, and he had a connection to West Fresno, Ace Lawson, and he went to Fresno State, okay, and people don't even know that, okay? But he's, you know, had a connection to West Fresno. There's so many athletes that came out of West Fresno, okay? Charles Young, Randy Williams, Maxey Parks, Bruce Bowen, you know, entertainers, you know. Jackie White was the second female to play basketball at the Harlem Globetrotters. Okay, all these people have a connection to West Fresno. But do you know who I am? I'm that veteran that nobody even talks about. You don't see me on television, and I am that connection to West Fresno. Therefore, that's why I have the photographs that I have with a little caption in them about the veterans that have a connection to West Fresno. The men and women, okay?
And I want to hear some of your story, because even though you didn't think you had a story before, now you know you do. And it sounds like you've learned a lot about some of these other stories. You just told us about Ace Lawson, who had actually played football at Fresno State, was one of the first African-American football players there, then became a Tuskegee Airman, actually had an aerial victory, had a kill as a fighter pilot during World War II. And yeah, most of the guys who play football there now have no idea who he was. And what are some of the other examples of the veterans who you have photos and captions of here where their experience or their story or just a little snapshot made an impression on you?
I was at the center here one day, Maxey Parks Community Center, and my sister, who's the director over here, Yolanda Randalls, she asked me if I would go talk to this guy on the corner. He's just sitting, drink coffee. And they were kind of afraid to talk to him. You know, it doesn't bother me. And I went over and approached the gentleman, and he immediately cursed me out. Like, oh, okay, no problem. I'll come back in a couple of days, all right? Every Tuesday and Thursday, I'm over here. And I came over again, you know, Thursday, and he immediately cursed me out again. There would be no third time, you know, be getting cursed out. But anyway, I came over here, and I had my Vietnam veteran cap. Come to find out, this guy's name was Hiram Cruz, homeless person. And I came with my Vietnam veteran cap on. He tried to stand up and salute me. And I said, don't do that. You know, I came back a week later. He's sitting over there in the corner. He's waiting for me. There's two cups of coffee, okay? And he says, I want to tell you my story. Okay, now I'm dumbfounded. Okay, this is a homeless guy here. What kind of story did you got? But anyway, I says, okay, Mr. Cruz, but I have to have permission in writing before I, you know, do anything. And I'm watching this gentleman write, like, this guy has perfect handwriting. Most of the time when you see a doctor sign something, you say, who put that chicken's foot down there and put that, right? I mean, you can actually read his writing. And he, you know, wrote his name out and stuff like that. And I'm going like, wow. And I said, okay, you know. And he went on to tell me a story about, you know, what he did in Vietnam. You know, he said him and his squad, he walked over 200 miles a night in North Vietnam. And he was in the Marines. He was a Marine. He was in there for like 12 years. And Mr. Cruz, as we were talking, he started to cry. I'm like, oh, man, what did I do? Strike a nerve? I said, we can stop. You can talk another day. You know, and I didn't see him for a couple of weeks. And he came back and he still had them two cups of coffee again waiting for me. And I said, Mr. Cruz, you okay? And he said, yeah, let's go outside. He told me we watched planes drop napalm on soldiers, and that blew his mind. You know, he got out of the Marines, I think, in 1972. He was in there for like 1961 to 72. A total of about 12 years, he told me. But anyway, from like 1973 on up until he passed away in 2016, the man lived on the streets. He never recovered from seeing that stuff. And that's what happens to a lot of veterans. You know, the people talk about PTSD, and it's like, you actually have to be in that situation to see that stuff. You know, you will see a dog or a cat run over in the street, okay? That will last with you, like, oh, maybe a day or an hour. But to see somebody, you know, screaming and burning and stuff like that, that doesn't go away. It never went away. But anyway, Mr. Cruz, he never became a civilian again. You know, get acclimated to being a civilian. For over 40 years, this man stayed on and off the street, and the streets finally caught up with him, and he passed away. You know, I hated to hear that because I like talking to him. You know, he sit right out there with a post out there, and we just sit and talk. And he tell me about the stuff he did in Vietnam. I'm like, wow. And I asked him one day, I said, Mr. Cruz, why do you have perfect handwriting? And he just had a little tiny smile on his face. And he told me, he says, if I get killed, the next guy has to be able to read my coordination notes. And I'm going like, wow. Because they were like, in Vietnam, they were mostly on their own, okay? And I'm going like, oh my gosh.
Everybody has a story, and you know that as well as anybody because of what happens with the Unsung Heroes Living History Project. And before the COVID pandemic, you had a few years in of this annual luncheon here in West Fresno in honor of Black History Month in conjunction with Unsung Heroes. What's the whole idea behind this luncheon? And if people come on February 25th to be a part of it, what do you hope they get out of it?
My hope is that people will learn about their Uncle Joe, their Aunt Sally, old Uncle Ted's picture on the wall that was in a military uniform that nobody ever asked a question about. You go by that picture every single day when you go to your grandma's or grandpa's house. You never ask any questions, okay? And my idea is to, like, ask a question. Even if they say, I don't want to talk about it, ask a question. And believe me, it would bring back memories of when they were 19, 20 years old. There's so many stories that's not heard. And like I said before, there's no superstars here. There's no heroes. Just plain old soldiers like everybody else. They've done the same job as everybody else, and their stories are not heard.
I think it's important for every community to preserve stories like this, but specifically with West Fresno, why is it so important? What's the value of asking these questions, hearing these stories? What kind of difference do you hope it can make moving forward?
The stories that, you know, you saw Uncle Joe's picture on the wall, the importance is to get out them stories. I don't care if they pushed a broom or dishwasher or whatever in the military, because everybody who was in the military, they had a job to do. And if you don't know what Uncle Joe or Aunt Sally did, you'll never know. But you have to ask that question. My Uncle Roscoe, his picture was one of those pictures at my grandma's house that I was talking about. Every day I went to my grandma's house. He's standing by this army tank, right? One day I finally asked a question. I said, Uncle, where were you at? And he says, I was in Korea. Yeah, okay. But he said, my father died. I'm going like, okay. And then my uncle started crying, like, oh my gosh, what did I do? Anyway, he said, you know, he got a letter from my grandmother and said that his dad died, and can you come home? And my uncle took the letter to his white sergeant. His sergeant says, if you go home to your dad's funeral, you cannot come back to the army. And my uncle cried again. Then I cried. My uncle says, why are you crying, nephew? I figured it out. 65 years it went by. He never told anybody why he didn't come home to his dad's funeral. And he said, you know, make sure you tell the rest of the family, nephew. My uncle was one of 11 kids, and I think he was next to the last to pass away. He told me, you know, when I was doing the interview, he said, make sure you tell the rest of the family. Well, all his brothers and sisters gone. I understand what he was saying is like, tell my nieces and nephews. Okay, he never told anybody. He finished his time in Korea and wound up going back to Louisiana, wherever it was, when he finally wound up back here in Fresno. But it's just the idea. That story was within hell with him for 65 years. And you know, you can imagine how hurtful that was. No, you can't come back. It's, you know, black and white world back then. You know, I was actually one of those guys. I got spit on when I got home from San Francisco Airport in 1973. And this lady came up and spit on me and called me a baby killer. I'm like, what are you talking about? You know, me and I turned around and looked at my buddy and going like, should I backhand this lady? He just shook his head and said, no. You know, we still had on our, you know, Navy uniform. Hey, we're back. We're back in Nixon Island. We're home, okay? No, we were not home. We knew who our enemies were, okay? But to come home and think, okay, we're safe. It wasn't safe. Wow. But anyway, I had to grow up. I had to grow up in a hurry after that. Before Vietnam, I had to grow up. And after I came home, I had to grow up even faster. I was 22 years old when I came home. And, you know, most kids at age 22, you're still in college. You don't even know how to wash your own clothes, okay? But being in the military, it made everybody grow up right now. Nobody's going to tell you when it's time to get up or go eat or wash your clothes or anything else. You went and did it or it got thrown out. If you missed what time it was time to eat, you didn't get to eat. Mom and Dad's not going to call you 10 times. This is the time what meal hours are, okay? If you didn't show up, well, you just had to wait till the next meal. But a lot of that stuff I tried to put behind me. About 10 or 12 years ago, my wife told me, she said that I had to wear my Vietnam veteran cap. And I refused to wear that cap for years and years, okay? People are starting to say, thank you now. And I think back on that age 22-year-old kid, I was still mad, but I'm an old man now, you know? It's like, I can't be getting mad, okay? It's like, it's too hard. But, you know, and one of the other things was, yes, I still have PTSD. I do not like fireworks. I don't like loud noises. Unless I can see it coming, it scares me to death. My heart races. And my wife would always tell me, she says, well, you know, the doctor says you have to watch this. And I'm like, I'm not watching fireworks. You know, I saw too much of that in Vietnam, way too much, you know. Every day, it's guns blasting, loud noise, boom, boom, boom. It's like just nonstop.
I want to hear some of the stories behind that. So let's rewind and let's go back to the earliest times, because you're the oldest of nine kids growing up here in West Fresno. What was it like back then? What do you remember about those early days that may paint a contrast to what we know today?
Back in those days, back in the 50s and 60s in West Fresno, everybody knew everybody. If you got in trouble, your grandmother whipped your butt, and your mom and dad got home, you got your butt whipped again, okay? There was no escape from that. And that back then, you know, they had the principal would paddle your butt. He'd call your grandma and say, hey, so-and-so did this. Like, he did what? So, you know, if you didn't... If you've done one thing wrong, you usually got your butt tore up three times, and you never did that again. But today, there's no consequences for, you know, for what kids do, you know. Because I do lectures every once in a while. At 8 a.m., I'm standing outside the door. Be quiet, Mr. Vance will be here in a minute. Be quiet, Mr. Vance will be here in a minute. Be quiet. Sometimes I would hear that three or four times, and, you know, my time would start at 8 o'clock in the morning, and I'd say to myself, I got told that one time. One time. That was it. You know, if somebody got told, you know, to be quiet the second time, get out of the classroom. I guess, and today you can't do that. My sister-in-law was always saying, like, Ron, you need to be a teacher. Like, no, I can't be a teacher because I was raised the old school way, okay? 8 o'clock means you're there 10 minutes before 8. You don't show up at 8 o'clock. That's just not my DNA to do stuff at the last minute. You're there ready to go 10, 15 minutes. And when your time starts at 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock or whatever, you're starting. But far as growing up in West Fresno, I wasn't hungry. I wasn't rich either. And to go to downtown Fresno, that was a treat. To go to the White's Theater on Saturday morning, that was a real treat. But now it's all changed. I you know, change is good and it's bad. It's good that, you know, stuff gets to grow, and it's bad that there's no old school teaching in that, any of this stuff.
It's time for our first break, but there's much more to come with Vietnam veteran Ron Vance of Fresno, California. He'd love to have you join him there February 25th for the annual Unsung Heroes Black History Month Luncheon. Find more information about that at hometownheroesradio.com, and we'll explore some of Mr. Vance's military memories when Hometown Heroes comes right back after this. Do you ever have those moments where you realize you've been settling for less than the best for far too long? Sometimes we just accept the status quo without looking around for better ways to do things. And I've got to tell you, when it comes to your money, I believe I found a better way with EECU. Take a look at myeecu.org and you'll see why. EECU is not a bank. It's a nonprofit credit union that's all about taking care of you, the member. That's one of the reasons EECU just keeps growing and growing. Close to 300,000 members now in 10 different California counties. Over 30,000 ATMs, free mobile banking. And what I really love is how EECU always goes above and beyond to serve the community. In 2013, the leadership and generosity of EECU helped establish Central Valley Honor Flight. Over 1,500 veterans now have gotten to see their memorials in Washington, D.C. for free. And that's just one example of the community involvement EECU takes oh so seriously. Pick up the phone and become a member today. 1-800-538-3328. That's 800-538-3328.